reading to you from the 8th chapter of Romans, in the 38th and 39th verse. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Moen. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. You know, friends, the older I get, the happier I get when I'm talking to people about Jesus, because the many years that I've known Christ, he's never let me down. He'll never let you down. Oh, but you say, Cecil, I'm having trials and tribulations. Well, the Bible said we would. Just because you accept Jesus don't mean that you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. But I'll tell you one thing, you're not going through this battle alone. He said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to John, the 4th chapter, and let's begin reading in the 34th verse. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receive wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And therein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I've labeled this one, the harvest. Well, being born and raised in a wheat and cattle ranch, I know a little bit about farming and a little bit about harvesting. And, you know, if you're a fruit orchard raiser, or a harvester in wheat or whatever, when it comes time and the fruit is ripe, you've got to pick it, just like in the cherries and the dalles. If they don't get those cherries off the thing, they could rain and they could crack and ruin the fruit. Well, you see, Jesus and them were going someplace, and yeah, they were going down the road, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes to this great big old well, and he said to his boys, you go ahead in town and get some supplies, and I'll sit here and rest. Well, they couldn't understand why he did that, because at first he said, we must needs go through Samaria. Well, they couldn't understand why would Jesus want them to go through Samaria. They hated the Jews, and vice versa. Well, when he saw this woman, the woman surprised that Jesus spoke to her. And the woman surprised that all Jesus knew about her. Oh, he knew the whole story about her life. The people in the city were even more surprised at the testimony of this woman. Now, Jesus asked her for to get a drink, and she questioned him, said, "You have something to draw with?" And said, "Are you greater than the prophets of old?" And he said, "You know, ma'am, this water that I offer you, if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again." "Wow, that was quite an exciting thing." She said, "Well, hey, I want this water." She didn't want to go to that well every day in raw water. "I'd like this water if I don't ever get thirsty again." Well, and then Jesus said, "You go talk to your husband." She said, "Well, I'm not married." Well, he said, "You know, you've been married 5 times, and the man that you're living with, you're not married." She was a very immoral lady. But after she heard the message of Jesus, she trusted the Lord, and then she wanted to go back to town and tell all of the people that she had found the Messiah. Friends, the day I got saved, I went out and started witnessing. The very day I received Christ, I went up to a friend of mine, an alcoholic, and told him that I'd joined the church. I didn't know how to say it while I got saved, but I told him I joined the church. And he informed me that he was a member of a Methodist church. In fact, he said he sang in the choir. I said, "Bill, you don't have what I have." See, Bill was a lost church member. There's a lot of those people running around today. Why? Because our pastors, many of them aren't spiritual enough to know a lost man when they see him. They have no spiritual receptivity. Well, anyway, let's get on with this. Anyway, she went back to town, and she said, "I found a man that knew all about me." Friends, you know what? He knows all about you tonight. Even from your mother's womb, he knew all about you. You know, recently a lady wrote a song. I asked her, told her the Lord told me to have her write this song. And the name of the song, "God Has a Plan." Beloved, he has a plan for your life tonight. You say, "Cecil, I'm insignificant. I'm a nobody. I don't have a great education." Don't make any difference. If you know Jesus, you're qualified. If you know John 3:16, you're qualified, because that verse of Scripture will bring people to Jesus. Oh, I know the Roman road's the best way to go, but still, you know, everybody doesn't listen to the gospel the same way. Well, anyway, so she went back to town and told them that she'd found Jesus, and they all came out. See, God can even use a lady of ill repute. You remember this prostitute that helped the disciples escape? Well, friends, it doesn't make a difference how bad your life has been or how sinful you've been. He told us in his word, if we would repent and come to the Lord, he would forgive all our sins, write our name in the Lamb Book of Life, and give us eternal life. Well, Jesus announced a great harvest. A great harvest of souls is ready. Good pay is offered to reapers, and whatever believer needs to know about the harvest. You know, years and years ago, Reverend Tom Baird had just finished seminary. Dr. Modem was our executive secretary in Portland. He came down to the seminary and said, "Look, I need 100 preachers to come to the Northwest, Oregon, Washington, and Canada." He said, "Now, the pay isn't very good. We can only guarantee you $100 a month for 1 year. And after that, my friend, you're on your own." Tom turned to his wife, Ann, and said, "Ann, would you go to the Northwest that we might help up there?" And Ann said, "Yes." They took what little possessions they had, and their two little kids, and they loaded in their truck or their van, and they came to the Northwest. Now, here Cecil Moe is, an alcoholic. He finds this preacher's phone number in Yellow Pages. He called this preacher at 3 a.m. in the morning and told him he was going to take his life, that he'd lost his family. And that great man of God said, come to my house or I'll come pick you up. And there, Cecil Moe heard the most fantastic love story ever told about how that Christ went to the cross of Calvary, sinless. Yet he took my sin and your sin upon him and gave his life. Well, that morning my life was completely changed. I mean completely changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. And I'm telling you, friends, that Jesus has been real to me ever since. Now he says here in the 35th verse, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his life. Well, the harvest had to do with the finished work of Christ, verse 34. Go back here to verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, he finished his work paying for our sins on the cross. Salvation by grace through faith is offered to all, not just a select few, not just to white people, not just to Orientals or black people. He came to die for the sins of all of us. Now, the harvest of souls is ready now. We are not to wait 4 months or weeks or days. We were to begin immediately to reach people for Christ. Listen, instructions for getting involved in the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Don't focus on earthly things. Look on the fields. See people as God sees them. Realize that the need is urgent. Don't procrastinate. And then in verse 36 it says, where's verse 36? It's over here on the next page, okay? And he that reapeth receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Friends, I got to tell you a story. It's really relevant to what I'm talking about today. When God led me and my wife to go to Corbett, Oregon to start a mission church, the first year, 50 people were saved the first year. You say, boy, you must have been a good preacher. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was my first church. My preaching was strange, to say the least. But why did we see a great harvest? Well, I'll tell you why. See, years ago, they used to have what they call the American Sunday School. Well, these people would go out in a community and teach the Bible, and people would meet, but they would never establish a church. It was just to teaching them the Bible. Well, that happened there in Corbett. And then the people packed up their gear and left those people lost, sitting there with no hope. And God sent us out there to Corbett, and we started this church, and 50 people were saved. So you see, it really wasn't my labors at all. I was just doing the harvest for someone who labored before me. So that's the way sometimes it works. Well, reapers are needed in verse 36. It says, 36 here, and he that reapeth receive wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Some people are more comfortable by sowing seed. Yes, they are. But you see, I try to get people to do both. Sow seed and do some reaping. See, my dear friends, there's too many spectators in this business and not enough reapers. too many shirkers, but not enough workers. Not many expecting a great harvest, many just trying to hold out until Jesus returns. We are to be active and aggressive and reaping. Now, reapers must cultivate compassion toward the lost. You know what, friends? I'll tell you the truth. The reason that I'm not saying this to be smart, but the reason I have compassion on people, alcoholics and drug addicts and anybody else that don't know the Lord, is because I remember how miserable I was. I knew in my head that there was a God. I prayed since I was 4 years old, but I was lost, doomed, and damned because I had not repented of my sin and I hadn't accepted Jesus. And friends, you will not get into heaven until you repent and invite Jesus into your heart. You'll be doomed and damned. Now, it is not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will. Don't you ever sit there and tell me, well, I can't love a God because he sends people to hell. God does not. I repeat, God does not send people to hell. You are the one that makes the decision. Right now, tonight, if you were to die tonight, you reject Jesus, you die tonight, God's going to remind you when you get to the white throne that you were heard a broadcast one night and you did not respond. You said, I have plenty of time. I'm young. I have plenty of time. Well, beloved, you and I don't know how much time we have. Now, the need for reapers is urgent. Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Listen, this is a challenge to every pastor of every church and every denomination in the world. You have a church full of untrained people. God help you to train them and teach them. It's your job to encourage them. It's your job to tell soul-winning stories if you have any souls that you've won to Christ. And there's a lot of pastors who are going to stand before God and empty-handed. Oh, beloved, I don't know how a man could read out of this book and not be concerned about lost people. I don't see how they can. Well, now Matthew 9:38 says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest. I must tell you this story. Oh, my friends. We were meeting in a big schoolhouse when I received Christ as Savior. I mean, that's when I joined the church that Tom Baird was the pastor of. Well, it was a church of about 150 people, I guess. But anyway, one Sunday, Reverend Tom Baird got up and said, I'm challenging and I'm looking for 7 tithing families to go out to this community to start a church. Well, 7 families came forward, and all the people in the church moaned and groaned. Why are you sending all of our tithing family out? Did you know that he did that 3 times in 5 years? And 7 families, tithers, went out. They built churches larger than the mother church. Tom had a desire to see people saved. He wasn't just interested in just his church. He wanted to see other people saved. Well, God honored that, and oh my stars, every time I go to the Northwest, I think about what Tom did. See, friends, there's some pastors that don't care a nit about people. It's a job for them. It's a cushy job. They can sit in their little office or stay home. They don't have to get out and work. I think a pastor should be go at least 8 hours a day, just like those of you who are office jobs or whatever you do. But many pastors are lazy. They don't care. And a lot of them have fooled people to think that they're born again, and a lot of them are not born again. Now listen, reapers must not be lazy. This is a demanding work. You know what, friends? I'm busier now since I retired than I've ever been in my life. I can't keep track of all the things I've got to do. Sending out books and films and making broadcast tapes. I'm a busy man. Taking phone calls, calling people and trying to encourage them. I've got several people that I call almost every day. And I try to encourage them. Try to get them excited about winning souls. And boy, I tell you, there's nothing about it. Listen, there are rewards for the reapers in this harvest. Verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth must rejoice together. Well, listen, friends. We are commanded in the book of Acts to be witnesses. We are commanded to do that. You don't have it. There's no options there. I know a lot of Christians that absolutely do not witness, and they do not care whether people go to heaven. Now, I've told you about Millie and Marie. Those two gals are up in their 70s. Marie, I think, is in the 80s. And twice a week, they go to rest homes. They take little goodies, fruit, apples, pears, whatever, cookies, to those dear old forgotten people. And they lead them to Christ. Now, they won't get a great harvest because there's not too many that late in life that are interested, but you never know. I've been to rest homes and I've led people to Christ that everybody gave up on. Well, they got a soul. They need to know Jesus. Well, what does it pay for reaping? Well, wages now, God's blessing in daily life, fruit to be evident later, eternal fruit. What will be the greatest reward? Well, those who have won people to Christ, rejoicing with them when Christ returns. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Listen, friends, I have pastor friends all over the United States who are soul winners. And when we get on the phone, that's all we do is share stories of soul winning. Oh, what a joy. Let me ask you, friends, and this is very serious. Have you ever introduced a soul to Christ? Have you ever witnessed to a lost person? Oh, friends, if you're not concerned about the lost, I want you to check up and to see if your name is truly written in the Lamb Book of Life. Seriously, if you've done neither, I truly doubt if you're heaven-bound tonight. You say, Cecil, that's terrible. Well, you see, if when the Bible says the new creatures in Christ Jesus, well, that's a new. He gives us a new heart, takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. And he puts that compassion in our heart. Jesus was full of compassion. Every time someone was in trouble, the Bible said, and Christ was moved with compassion. Remember when God looked down into Egypt and saw what were happening down there? Pharaoh was abusing and beating those children of Israel. And God reached down in a burning bush and spoke to Moses. And Moses went down and led them to the promised land. Well, friends, the rewards should send us enthusiastically into the harvest. Encouragement from great reapers of the past. Matthew Henry, a great scholar, I would think it greater happiness to gain one soul to Christ than a mountain of silver and gold to myself. C.H. Spurgeon, I would rather be the means of saving one soul from death than to be the greatest orator on the earth. And he was a great orator, but he was a soul winner. Don't delay. Start reaping this great harvest today. Look on the harvest, for they are ready. And you know what? There's not many of us anymore that's interested in the souls of men. I'm not saying this that my halo slipped down on my eyes or my humility button hadn't been touched, but I'll tell you one thing, friends. If I never cared anymore for the souls of men, I hope God will flip me out of here in a hurry, because that's what the purpose for my life was. And he knew that before I was born. God had a plan. He had a great plan. I'm so glad this simple-minded little old farm boy that everybody said was such a mischievous little fella. I had a lot of heartache as a little fella after my mom and dad died, my sis died. Dad married that mean woman. My life was full of hurt. I was abused. I was beaten, locked in the basement in the dark. Oh, I remember those days. But I remember the day, the morning at 3 o'clock, this preacher telling me this great story, and I gave Jesus my heart. Friend, listen, I'm going to ask you tonight, where do you stand? Where do you stand? You say, well, I don't know. I'm a Christian. Well, if you're a Christian, are you witnessing and leading souls to Christ? If not, beloved, I beg of you, I really beg of you, please come get on your knees right now and let me pray for you. Father, for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who knows Jesus, knows they're going to heaven, but they don't care about the people that are lost. Oh, God, build a fire under them. Put a burr under the saddle of those lazy pastors that don't care. Oh, they put on a front. They get up and they talk and they talk, but there's no fruit. Maybe a few get saved in spite of what they do. But Lord, bless our listeners. Bless those who want to be soul winners. Give them holy boldness like you said you would if we asked. And oh God, I pray for that man and that woman tonight that's lost. They put their trust in Jesus tonight. Amen. Listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, don't know where you're going, and they're tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head to me right now. Don't you pray this unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my wayward life. Tonight I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I won't lose your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Won't sit down and ask you for any money. Only concerned where you spend eternity, not where you go to church. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I want to thank you for listening, and I want you to pray for me. And I wait every day for them to call me about my operation, but so far they haven't called me. But you pray that this operation be a walk through the park. Oh, friends, I want to feel good, and I want to get out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Soul winning has been my life since I've been a Christian. I'm not the greatest in the world. Believe me, I'm not even the smartest man in the world. In fact, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I love Jesus, and I'm not afraid to tell people about him. Well, listen, until this next time next Sunday, I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you. Real, real good.